As I begin my sermon, I'm going to read the last line of that poem once more. In case like me you had forgotten, we are the universe's latest way of blooming. Indeed, here we are, halfway between the spring equinox and summer solstice. At the time of the seasonal calendar that signals hope and life and opportunity. However we find ourselves today, on this slightly less than sunny day, and whatever we are holding that might be weighing us down, still, we are the universe's latest way of blooming. This line speaks to me of the ways in which an earth-based spirituality hooks right into the core of who we are. We are embodied natural beings. We are made of star stuff, as Carl Sagan famously said. And following the rhythms of our planet as it orbits the sun, we can't help come along for the ride that is our yearly calendar. Which is part of why I love the solar holidays. The winter and summer solstice, the spring and fall equinoxes, and the midway points in between, like May Day. Because they link us with our indigenous ancestors from all over the world, who celebrated and may continue to celebrate their experience of the Earth's rhythms, however they were experienced or are experienced locally. In case you're wondering, this is also my yearly plug for everyone to join us for our summer solstice service, which is coming up in June. Stay tuned. And I'll share a little history. The full origin of May Day as a celebration and the Maypole is unknown, in part because it likely predates Christianity and written accounts in Europe. Relatively more recent accounts of the Maypoles in various parts of Europe trace back to at least the 1300s. With traditions in Germany, England, Italy, Hungary, and Sweden, among others. And then with colonialism, it spread widely from there. I always love to point out that after it had come to New England, the Puritans even saw fit to ban it, which is how you know it's fun. If you're curious, I recommend Googling Maypole around the world. It's a website, which will bring you to stories and videos of maypoles and related traditions, because many cultures have traditions that involve dancing around a pole across the globe. One of my favorite videos on this site, which I thought about sharing with you, but it's a little long, describes how the maypole dance has been a part of Afro-Caribbean culture on the island of Tobago. In recent years, there has been efforts to revive those traditions, led in part by someone known as the Grand Dame of Culture in Tobago. This is Annette Alfred. She grew up with the tradition of maypole dancing as a young girl and has spent decades reintroducing it in schools and cultural festivals on the island. This is a reminder to me that cultural traditions can rise and recede, but they need not be lost. I am so grateful to all of those here at UUCPA who have made this tradition part of our own community and culture and keep it going. I did not grow up with May Day traditions. I first experienced the Maypole here at UUCPA after I joined as a community minister about 13 years ago. And I loved it right away. As an earth-based symbol, the Maypole has such rich imagery with many possible interpretations. In medieval Germanic culture, for example, it symbolized the axis mundi, the center of the world, connecting the heavens and the earth and the underworld below, and then all rotating on that axis. Whatever our cosmologies, this notion of connecting the sky above us and the earth below us, and then rotating around that connection. What a transcendent feel to it. The maypole can also symbolize fertility, with various historical traditions associated with courtship. It can symbolize diversity, with its many colors. That feels as critical as ever these days. When Megan and I were starting to plan this service and thinking about various themes, one in particular emerged for us, the theme of interweaving, of ribbons around a pole, of braids of hair, of melodies, of stories, of lives and communities. One of my favorite things about the Maypole is that no matter how chaotic the dance might sometimes feel, as we forget who goes over and who goes under, and as one little kid decides to just drop the ribbon mid-dance and run off, no matter what, the end result is always beautiful. However the interweaving happens, it works. The key thing is to do it, to make the intention, to get involved, to connect, to interrelate. I think about that a lot in my work as the chaplain and spiritual care educator. Part of what we do as hospital chaplains is give people the chance to tell their story. The story of their hospitalization, of course, of their illness, of the changes that have happened in their life recently as a result. And then the other stories and memories that get sparked by those stories. Previous illnesses, challenges, losses, and grief. Previous hopes, accomplishments, joys, and milestones. The people and places that have been most important. Their spiritual, religious, and philosophical worldview. Their beliefs, their practices, and communities. It sounds like a lot, but you might be amazed just how much of it can come up in only a 20 or 45 minute visit. One of the jobs of the hospital chaplain, then, is to listen, to care genuinely about the person and their stories, and to convey that care through empathy and reflection. One of the related jobs of the hospital chaplain, then, is also integration. Another form of interweaving. The experience of hospitalization can be so overwhelming for patients and their loved ones that it can be hard to access other parts of themselves, the parts of themselves they need to cope with their present circumstances, the parts they feel they need to be whole. Sometimes it's a spiritual practice like meditation or prayer. Sometimes it's listening to a favorite song. Sometimes it's a deeper process of inner reconciliation or meaning-making. For one of my patients with advanced Parkinson's, it was about telling the story of cooking with her grandmother as a little girl, of sweet memories of growing up, of culture, of grief, and personal formation. This prompted her to ask her adult daughter if they could try cooking again together. We even had fun brainstorming on some modifications, using an induction burner instead of a stove, for example, for safety now that her hands shook. This gave my patient hope for her discharge from the hospital, hope that she could reclaim a part of herself, even as she faced ongoing progression of her illness. Hope that she could still do some personal interweaving. My own process of becoming a hospital chaplain was a path of integration and interweaving. One thread was religion and spirituality. I grew up in a multi-faith context with friends from school who were part of the world's major religious traditions. When I was baptized as a Presbyterian at 3 months old, standing at the altar were my mother, who was raised Southern Baptist, my father, who was raised Catholic, and my godparents, who were Jewish. A fun side fact, since I was the most recent baby to get baptized, I was chosen to play the infant Jesus in the church Christmas pageant. It was my first role in front of a congregation, but clearly not the last. Apparently, I did fine until a particularly strong solo from the big organ. Then I started screaming. I promise I won't do that today. From that auspicious moment, I grew up active in our church. At the same time, in a more private way, I also developed my own spirituality around a love for the natural world, a sense of cosmic awe. Another thread in my life growing up was illness and caregiving. From the time I was 3 years old, we lived with my great aunt, who was in her 90s. She had Alzheimer's, was deaf and blind. My mother was her 24/7 caretaker. I remember walking up and down along our hallway with Aunt Izzy and singing songs. Sweet Alice, Blue Gown, and It's a Long Way to Tipperary, if anyone knows it. I valued our time together, even as I also witnessed her ongoing losses and my mother's stress. Illness was part of my own experience, too. I grew up with hepatitis C, a liver disease which I had from birth and was finally diagnosed at age 15. It was a life-threatening illness at the time, without reasonable options for treatment. As the poem says, I took death seriously from an early age. And so by the time I reached adulthood, I carried both of these threads, spirituality and health and illness, although I hadn't quite woven them together. As an undergraduate nearby at Stanford, I was very active in the interreligious community on campus. I attended every service I could from the various traditions over time, and I took religious studies classes for fun. I also majored in psychology and became an intern for a clinical and research program at the Menlo Park VA Hospital with a psychiatry professor who was at Stanford. We were providing group support for caregivers of patients with dementia, and as you can hear from my story, that was very close to home. So when I heard about the field of hospital chaplaincy when I was a senior, I knew that was it. I had to give it a try. It wove both threads of my life together. I did a summer internship first, and it felt right. I did a chaplain residency after that for a full year. Then I went to divinity school and got my master's degree. And I've worked as a chaplain and then a spiritual care educator ever since, over 20 years now. Now you've heard my own story of blooming. I think church is also a time for integration, for interweaving. There is something deeply integrating, I think, about sitting in a congregation that shares values and proclaims your values. It's why we took time today to do the affirmation of values, although in good UU fashion, we are all welcome to debate the wording. The values will continue to change and evolve just like we do as a broader community. I also think it can be integrating to be part of a religious community that is non-creedal, that doesn't espouse particular beliefs that may clash with our own understanding. That allows us the freedom to be true to what we believe in and what matters most to us. And with any luck, the reflections, the readings, the sermons may also spark something in us once in a while. Maybe to think about how we want to apply our values in the world, whether in collective action or support. I imagine a number of us were present at the recent May Day protests and events, as many have been present in various actions. Or perhaps a church service might prompt us to get involved in some new way. Maybe you'll join a chalice circle, one more plug, and meet some new people. And maybe you'll join the choir. Bruce can tell me if there's any room left. I don't actually know. Yes, yes, okay. Or maybe simply coming out of this sermon, you'll consider whether there might be a thread in your life that you've been missing for a while or that you'd like to explore. Maybe after the service, you'll have a conversation with someone else about what that could look like. So that is the question I'll leave us with today as I close the sermon. Is there a thread in your life that you might want to weave in? Here's to life, to spring, and to all of our ways of blooming. Thank you, and may it be so.